International. Higher education. Is your master's degree useless? Second degrees are all the rage, but don't bank on a big payoff.
In the coming months, millions of people across the Northern Hemisphere will apply to do postgraduate study. Most will top up an undergraduate qualification with a 1 or 2 year master's degree in the hope that this will set them apart in a job market crowded with bachelor's degrees. The number one reason people get these degrees is insecurity, reckons Bob Shireman of the Century Foundation, a left-leaning think tank in New York. The feeling that if they are going to get a job, or keep their job, they need a master's degree. Yet on average, these provide a much smaller bump to wages than an undergraduate degree does. And a new body of data and analysis suggests that a shockingly high share of master's courses leave graduates worse off. In America, close to 40% of workers with a bachelor's also boast a postgraduate credential of some sort. In the decade to 2021, the number of postgraduate students there increased by 9%, even as undergraduates fell by 15%. PhDs required by academics and long professional degrees of the sort needed by doctors and lawyers are becoming more popular. But master's courses still account for most of the growth. They are an even bigger business for universities in Britain, which hand out 4 postgraduate degrees for every 5 undergraduate ones. This has much to do with a boom in master's students from places such as India and Nigeria. Britons have been getting in on the action too. The number enrolling in taught master's courses has grown by about 60% over 15 years. In part, this has been driven by employers demanding higher qualifications, as jobs in science and technology in particular grow more complex. But universities are also keen. In Britain, undergraduate fees are capped by the government and have barely increased in a decade. Enrolling more postgraduates, who may be charged whatever the market will bear, is one way to cope. America's university-age population will soon start declining. College presidents there hope that repeat customers can keep their institutions afloat. Since 2000, the cost of postgraduate study in America has more than tripled in real terms, according to the Center on Education and the Workforce at Georgetown University. The median borrower now acquires around $50,000 in debt while completing their second degree, up from $34,000 20 years earlier, in 2022 dollars. Almost half of the money America's government lends to students goes to postgraduates, even though they are only 17% of learners. In Britain, domestic master's students paid about £9,500, that's $13,000 a year in 2021, some 70% higher than in 2011 after accounting for inflation. Students have put up with these fees in part because they assume that lofty credentials will usually increase their earnings. Gaining a financial return is not the only reason to pursue education, acknowledges Beth Akers of the American Enterprise Institute, a right-leaning think tank. But for the vast majority of students, she says, that is the ambition. At first glance, they're making a reasonable bet. In America, full-time workers with a bachelor's earn about 70% more than high school graduates, and those who tack on a master's can expect an additional 18%. Yet earnings vary enormously by subject and institution. Moreover, postgraduates are usually from richer families and got better grades as undergraduates than did their peers. They would tend to do well in life, regardless of additional credentials. Working out the real returns requires comparing the outcomes of this brainy cohort with those of similarly impressive people who decided against further study. Seen through that lens, the average master's student will bank no more than $50,000 extra over their lifetime as a result of their qualification, reckons Preston Cooper, an analyst formerly of FreeOp, a think tank in Austin, Texas, who also considered fees paid and potential earnings foregone while studying. Worse still, students enrolled on about 40% of America's master's courses will either make no extra money or incur a financial loss. That is a higher risk than for undergraduate courses, which Dr. Cooper believes provide positive returns about 75% of the time. Because American data remains somewhat patchy, reaching conclusions such as these still involves vast amounts of guesswork. Things are a bit clearer in Britain, where researchers who ask nicely may crunch a database linking the tax histories and educational achievements of millions of young adults. In 2019, analysts at the Institute for Fiscal Studies, a think tank in London, concluded that one-fifth of undergraduates would be better off if they skipped university altogether. More recently, the Institute has investigated returns from master's courses, with even more striking results. It has found that by the age of 35, master's graduates earn no more than those with just a bachelor's, after accounting for their better-off backgrounds and higher previous attainment. That finding was genuinely surprising, says Jack Britton, one of the study's authors. It also differed markedly from research that used less granular data. On both sides of the Atlantic, choice of subject is the single biggest factor determining whether a master's boosts earnings. In America, returns are especially large in computer science and in engineering. They are slightly smaller in other science subjects, in part because an undergraduate degree in these already bumps up salaries by quite a lot. Teachers who bag graduate degrees in education tend to earn more, even if wages for the profession as a whole are fairly low, because many American school districts automatically raise the pay of those who have them. More striking are the large negative returns in some subjects. British men who complete master's degrees in politics earn 10% less in their mid-30s than peers who do the same subject at undergraduate level only. For history, the hit to earnings is around 20%. For English, it is close to 30%. Many of the people on these courses are targeting careers that they know will be low earning, but which they think they will enjoy, explains Dr. Britton. But some drift into advanced study because they have not yet decided what profession to pursue. It should probably not be a surprise that these people tend to earn less in the medium term than peers who have rocketed straight from bachelor's courses into jobs. Choice of institution matters, though in most cases less than is commonly assumed. In America, costs range widely by university. But there is no strong connection between the price of a master's course and the amount its graduates go on to earn, according to Tomas Monares and Jordan Matsudaira from the US Department of Education. Brand-name schools have realised that they can trade on their reputation to offer programmes that look very prestigious on paper, says Dr. Cooper, but which don't have outcomes that justify the hype. MBA courses are a notable exception. Graduates from the most celebrated institutions make far more than everyone else. But in other walks of life, acquiring swanky networks while studying is not quite so crucial to success. The upshot is that splurging on an elite university is not nearly as clever as picking a well-priced course somewhere less fancy. Women have a higher chance than men of getting a boost to earnings from doing a master's. The British study finds that these qualifications increase earnings for women in 14 out of 31 subject areas. For men, that is true in only 6 of them. This seems surprising. Men's hourly earnings are higher than women's, and the gap widens further with education. But women with higher qualifications do better than women without them, because they also tend to work longer hours, particularly when they become parents and are put under pressure to go part-time or stop working. The poor returns from many master's degrees should worry applicants. But they also raise thorny questions for governments. In Europe and America, politicians have been accused of inadvertently pushing up costs. In 2016, master's students in Britain became eligible for government-backed loans with generous repayment terms. America's federal government limits how much it will lend to undergraduates, but since 2006 has allowed postgraduates to borrow whatever their universities choose to charge. In both cases, easy money has led to price inflation. A related debate is whether governments ought to be more picky about which postgraduate courses they fund. In America, credit is offered as freely to people studying underwater basket weaving as to those who study law, says Dr. Akers. In 2026, profit-making universities could be prevented from enrolling students who borrow federal money in courses that have saddled graduates with unmanageable debt or which have not boosted their incomes. But the new rules will not be applied to public and non-profit universities, which enrol most students. These institutions will instead simply have to warn applicants about courses with poor returns. Americans from both the right and left of politics agree that graduate education is a bit out of control, says Mr. Shireman. That could make it easier to make changes to, say, the postgraduate loan system. But it remains to be seen how the incoming administration will choose to handle these issues, says Dr. Akers. The worry, she says, is that Donald Trump's team might focus more on publicly shaming institutions that are bastions of progressivism than on thoughtful reform.